for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, May the 30th, 2010. Ken Campbell is the speaker of this service, teaching on getting safely and properly to the marriage altar.
I just want to say a few words before I actually get into the message this evening. I want you to know I've really enjoyed being here. This is our first camp meeting here. As I said before, I have spoken here one other time before. It was just on a regular Sunday morning. And I've really enjoyed it. And I've met some good friends. I think these are going to be friends for life, people that we've met here. And it's just, I just wanted to let you know that I have enjoyed ministering to you. I've enjoyed meeting you, enjoyed just being here. The praise and worship is wonderful, and you seem to have a pretty good bass player up there. He's pretty good, and everybody was good.
I thought you know him.
Yeah, just a wonderful praise and worship team. The staff here has just been wonderful, very accommodating. It's like I'm royalty or something. It's just very, very kind of you all, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. So I've really enjoyed it, and thank you so much. This evening is going to be, in a way, a continuation of last evening, and in a way not. In a way, this really, what I'm going to talk about tonight, really should come first. We're going to talk a little bit about dating and courtship this evening, and I know there's not a whole lot of young people in the room tonight, but those of you who are here, I want you to listen and listen closely. Now, I want to make a statement here before we get into this. I understand that when we go through this this evening, that there will be some who have said, "Oh, I wish I'd have heard this when I was younger." This morning, a lady came to me and said that she really appreciated the message last night. She wished she'd have heard it when she was a young girl, and I know how that is. But if this is something, I know that this is something that some of you are going to say to yourself, "I wish I'd have heard this earlier." I want you to know, I don't want there to be in this room a spirit of condemnation whatsoever tonight, okay? I want you to hear my heart. I just want to put this message out there for those that are not quite there yet. They're young people, and they're approaching the age of when they're going to start being interested in the opposite sex. This is mainly for them. For the rest of you, it's also good for you because you can share it with your children and your grandchildren. Okay? So we're going to... I just wanted to say that in advance. All right? Are you still with me? You want to hear this about dating and courtship?
Yeah.
All right. Just a couple of things from last night, though, kind of loose ends that I want to tie up. Somebody came up to me after the message last night and said, "Whatever happened to that girl?" And he was referring, of course, to the girl and the young couple that I was counseling for marriage. And if you remember, I told you I don't ever marry together two people without having counseled them first. And so I think a minister that does is not a very good minister. He should really take more care and more concern in what he's doing, and tell the young people that he's joining together in holy matrimony what marriage is all about. So anyway, I was sharing with you how I was sharing with them what the Word of God says about marriage, and I read off all those scriptures that we read last night. Well, she said, "Well, I think that's just ridiculous." What happened? What ended up happening was she knew that I could feel she did not want me to do her wedding ceremony. As I said, her grandfather had asked me to do the wedding, and he being my good friend and a supporter of the ministry, I said, "Sure, I would be glad to. I just need to talk to her first, and her husband to be, and because I have to counsel with them before I can marry them. So she obviously did not want me to be her wedding pastor, and I could sense that very clearly. And I also knew that I could not do the wedding because I could sense in her just a complete rebellion to everything that God was saying to her. So I just excused myself. So that's the end of that story. Another thing I wanted to share with you is that, and it's true, if you do things God's way in marriage, and this is really with any area of life, but if you do things God's way in marriage, you're going to have that marriage is going to be the closest thing to heaven on this earth. The closest thing to heaven on earth is a happy marriage. When the husband does what the husband should do according to the Word of God, and when the wife does what the wife should do according to the Word of God, if both are seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and seeking to be obedient to God, that marriage will be the closest thing to heaven on earth. But if one or neither of them is not seeking first the kingdom of God and is not being obedient to God's Word in the area of marriage, that marriage will be the closest thing to hell on earth. So it's very, very important that you heed what was said from the Word of God last evening. Very, very important. Now, that has to do with marriage itself. Now, what about before marriage? Tonight I want to talk about what to do first, before you ever get married. What is the way to a happy marriage initially? So the topic for tonight, or the title of tonight's message, is Getting Safely and Properly to the Marriage Altar. Getting Safely and Properly to the Marriage Altar. There are few truths today so critically important for our culture and our society as those that deal with our young people getting safely and properly to the marriage altar in all purity. Now, how many of you would agree with that? I think it's true. It's a sad fact that today most young people either don't know God's truth in this matter, or they simply do not care what the Bible says about getting safely and properly to the marriage altar. Satan is a deceiver. Would you all agree with that? He is a liar and the father of lies. He delights in portraying error as truth and in manipulating the minds of God's people to reject the truth. Our only protection against deception is for us to grab hold of the truth of God's Word and not let go. Practically nothing has wreaked as much havoc on our society in the last 100 years as the modern practice of dating and the boyfriend-girlfriend mentality. Now, that's quite a statement, wouldn't you say? And right now, you may disagree with me on that, but let me just share with you. Would you listen to me as I share with you some thoughts on why I believe this? You might think that it is an exaggeration to say what I have said, but if you will take a serious look at dating and the boyfriend-girlfriend mentality and all the ramifications associated with it, you will see, I believe, that it is no exaggeration at all. Dating is responsible for a world of evil. And I can hear some of you saying, Pastor, you are so melodramatic. But listen to this. Just think about it. I believe that dating is responsible for much fornication that goes on in the land today. Much of it. Almost all of it. Fornication. What are you talking about? Well, just think about it. What goes on most dates? It's responsible for much fornication, abortion, come on, and I believe also the high divorce rate in America today. Now, why would I say that dating is responsible, partly, if not all, for the high divorce rate in America today? Well, think about it. You have a little boyfriend or girlfriend when you're a little child, and the parents often they'll encourage it. They'll say, oh, look, little Johnny has a little girlfriend. And they'll think, oh, isn't that sweet? And it starts way back then. Way back then. And so they had this idea, well, that's my boyfriend or that's my girlfriend. And they're encouraged by their parents to say such things and do such things. So they get all right with the idea. And then, well, they get tired of that one. So then they go to another one. And then another one, and another one. Now just think back to your own life. If you were involved in dating, how many different boyfriends or girlfriends you had before you actually got married. And you'll see that, yeah, this is making sense. I think that what I'm saying makes sense. Well, thank you. You see, if you get used to, I get tired of this person, so I just let them, I break up with them. You get tired of them, you break up with them. If that's the mentality all through your formative years, all through your teenage years, when you get to be an adult, you still have this mentality. It's just a little bit more complicated. It costs more money. You know, there's more pain associated with it, but it's still basically the same. That idea is there, and it's there because of the dating boyfriend-girlfriend mentality that they had when they were in school. It's a natural desire of any healthy young person to find that special someone of the opposite sex to spend their life with. But there is a right way and a wrong way to do so. There's a right way and a wrong way to do so. We're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to begin at verse 3. If you would, please stand as we read God's Word. And then I'll want to open with prayer. Verse 3 and following. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Let no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us His Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, I come to You humbly and ask that You please help me this evening to preach Your words and Your words only. Lord, I want to be a blessing here tonight. I want Your Word to speak to each and every one that is here tonight. Lord, I specifically ask that no one feel a spirit of condemnation, but that all would receive this as knowledge from above. I pray, Lord, that You would please show each and every young person here this evening what You would have them do with their life. And looking back, Lord, I pray that if there is regret in the room, that it would not be a spirit of condemnation, but just, oh, I wish I'd have known that earlier. And just thank the Lord that they know it now. Lord, I want You to please be our speaker this evening. I am just mortal clay, and I ask that You would please push Ken Kimball out of the way and bless Your people this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's true. Dating is responsible for much fornication, if not all of it, that goes on in the land today. A boy and a girl all alone in a car or in a room or wherever they are, they go off together by some shrubs out in the, whatever. They find a way to get alone, and what happens, and that goes on across the land every night, every day in America. Because why? Because they either haven't been taught the right way, or they don't care what the right way is. Also, parents don't know the right way so that they can teach their children the right way. I believe that a lot of parents, if they knew the right way to teach their children, they do it. But they don't know it because they were never taught. So that's what this is about this evening. And so I pray that God will teach us all this evening what He would have us to know from His Word. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and following, we read. And there is another translation that I would like to read of that scripture that we read. This translation is by Dr. S. M. Davis. It's a paraphrase. Okay, it's the same passage that we read earlier, but it's a paraphrase by Dr. S. M. Davis. It says, "For it's God's will for you to be sanctified, set apart to holiness, so that you don't get involved in fornication. By the way, fornication is the word porneo. Does that sound familiar? Porn. Fornication comes about largely through pornography today. Pornography is a cancer in our society, and it is affecting even people in the church. It's affecting even people in the pulpit. It's affecting everybody. It's rampant. Now, with the internet, it's available too, readily available. You used to have to go to some seedy shack on the outside of town, wear shades and an overcoat so nobody would see you if you wanted some of that trash. Now, all you have to do is sit down in the comfort of your own den. You don't have to. Nobody sees you. Nobody sees you. But God sees you, and you know what you're doing. And it's really cutting at you because you know you're involved with something you shouldn't be involved with. And I believe that there's maybe even somebody even here in this room that you just can't believe that it's got a grip on you. How did you get there? Well, you got there because it's just out there. It's out there and you weren't careful or whatever it is. But now God is dealing with you on it. Maybe you didn't know that the word fornication is actually porn in the Greek, porneo. And maybe you just didn't realize that every time you turn to those websites or magazines or whatever, that you are committing fornication. Well, you are. It's very serious. I'll start over. For God's will, it is God's will for you to be sanctified. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, the Davis paraphrase. For it's God's will for you to be sanctified, set apart to holiness, so that you don't get involved in fornication or porneo. If you're going to do this, then you will have to know how to acquire your wife in a holy, not an unholy, way. And in a way that shows to everyone her incredible value to you. You must not tolerate lustful passions or wrong affections that cause you to desire someone or something you shouldn't have. This is the way people do things that don't even know God. No person should step over the fences that God has put in place and raise expectations that cheat a brother or sister in Christ in any way. Because the Lord is the avenger of all those that do that kind of thing, as we have forewarned you and given you illustrations about. God deals strongly in this area. This is important because God has not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. And anyone who despises these truths is not despising the man who teaches or preaches them. They're despising God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit to live in us to justify the truth of these things. Now, with all that said, I want to give you several reasons why I think our young people should avoid dating and the boyfriend-girlfriend mentality at all costs. Are you ready? First of all, guys, we are instructed to treat all of our to treat all young ladies as sisters. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2. Let's turn to it. The elder women, well, let's start at verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. So guys, we are to treat all young ladies as sisters. That's the first reason why I believe dating is wrong. Because all those young ladies out there that you know, let's say you're a young boy, you're 14, 15, 16 years old. All those girls that you know, you are to treat them as sisters. Now, you don't do things with your sister, do you? No. The very thought is repulsive. I mean, you do things for your sisters like, it would be a good thing for you to open the door for her, help her in any way that she needs. I mean, things like that. That's fine. But don't go treating her in a way that you would treat a wife until she is your wife. You got to hear an amen. Amen. So, guys, treat young ladies as sisters. If you think of that young lady that that you think is kind of attractive, you think of her as a sister, and you know, and this is, you know, you between you and God, and you know that you should treat her like a sister, that'll help you a great deal, I believe. Number two, reasons why I believe that our young people should avoid dating and the boyfriend-girlfriend mentality at all costs. Number two, you are throwing yourself into a situation, if you are involved in dating, in which you will be tempted. You will be tempted. Come on. Now, I want to read to you something that our Lord Jesus said, our Lord Jesus Christ told us to pray. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. We all know the Lord's Prayer. Let's just start at the beginning, and let's all say it together, won't you? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation. Now, why would you pray, lead us not into temptation, and then put yourself in a place where you will be tempted? I mean, you just will be tempted. You go on a date, you will be tempted. You and that girl all by yourself, all alone, there's going to be temptation. God made us that way, okay? It's nothing dirty, it's just the way God made you. Well, why put yourself in a place where you will be tempted? I say it's a bad idea. 1 Corinthians. We're going to go to several scriptures. 1 Corinthians 6, 18. I heard someone tell me today, you know, Pastor, I've never heard a message on how a Bible marriage should perform, how a Bible marriage should function. I've never heard any of those scriptures read in church before. And that's a shame. That is a shame. And probably you wouldn't have, maybe you've never heard a message on this particular topic before. But I believe pastors should really teach their young people God's Word on dating. 1 Corinthians, where was I? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, flee fornication, or porneo. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Now, you're tempted, if you go on a date, you are tempted to fornicate. It's just a temptation, it's just there, it's going to be there. Now, Romans chapter, you say, oh, Pastor, you're just exaggerating. Oh, yeah, you know I'm not. I beseech you, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Everybody say, sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, last night, I gave you an example, with the help of some young people from the audience, of how difficult it is to make a difference in your lost friend's life. You know, we're not going to... our sister gave me a little piece of paper. I'm going to read this scripture. Where is it? Why don't you just... Here it is. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Bad morals corrupts good character. And she said she shared that verse with her children, and I think you should share that verse with your children as well. Don't let them just do things. Don't, like, they say, oh, Johnny does such and such, or Sally does such and such. Everybody else is doing it. Now, honestly, if you lay down the law, if you've got a young person, you lay down the law in your house and you say, I'm sorry, you're not going to go on any dates. Oh, my goodness. It's very possible that all hell's going to break loose in your house. But I encourage you to stand firm. If this is a conviction with you, now, if it's not a conviction with you, you can't very well stand firm on it, can you? I pray, though, God, please, make this a conviction with the parents of teenagers in this place tonight. I pray that by the end of this talk, you'll be firmly convinced that it's not a good idea to let your children date. My children know they're never going to go on a date. They're never going to go on a date. Joshua, wake up. Been a long weekend. My children know that they're never going to go on a date. And they're all right with it, aren't you? I mean, I've explained these things to my children and explained them. I've taught this at our church before. It's just something that I believe parents should. I want you to hear that. I want you to hear, and I want you to just be firmly convinced what I'm saying is good for you, good for your children. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members. Wait, let's back up. Let's back up. Romans 12. Bear with me. I've got this really great Bible. But... okay. Be not conformed to this world. Yes. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, just because everybody else may be doing this doesn't mean your child needs to do that. Now, think about this. If you... I used to tell my young people in our meetings, our youth meetings, if you do the same things that your lost friends do, if you go to the same places, do the same things, tell the same stories, laugh at the same jokes, what is the difference between you and that lost person? And you know, it's really very simple, but I want you to think about it. Just think about it. If you go to the same places and do the same thing that your lost friends do, you go to the same places, tell the same stories, go to all the same places, laugh at the same jokes, what's the difference? Think about it. Go to all the same places, laugh at all the same jokes. Time's up. Time's up. What's the difference? There's no difference. Don't let your children talk you into letting them do something you know is wrong for them. They're going to try it, but don't you let them talk you into it. Stick to your guns. Stick to your conviction. All right. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Flee fornication, mortify your members. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. It says we are to put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed by the spirit of our mind, renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 5. I'm just rattling off some verses here that I believe will be helpful to you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now these things go on dates. Amen? They just do. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and then we'll move on. Proverbs 4, 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. You can't guard your heart if you're going to throw yourself into harm's way by going out on a date. I'm telling you, teenage boy, teenage girl, all alone spells trouble. It can spell trouble. And so, therefore, it does spell trouble. Third reason I want to give you for not having dating and boyfriend-girlfriend mentality be a part of your child's life is it makes it practically impossible not to defraud your brother or sister in Christ. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 at verse 6, which says, "Note that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified." Now, in Dr. Davis's paraphrase, it said, "No person should step over the fences that God has put in place and raise expectations that cheat a brother or sister in Christ in any way." You see, when you go out on a date, if it doesn't end in marriage, you have really essentially committed defraud against that person. What am I talking about? You defraud someone when you give them reason to expect something that's not going to happen. That's when you defraud someone. If you ask a girl out on a date, guys, and you go out on a date, she has every reason to expect that that could lead to marriage. Right? I mean, I used to teach young people, never go out on a date with someone that you're not willing to marry. I used to teach and encourage Christian dating. Well, I don't anymore. I mean, in some churches, some youth pastors, they will encourage Christian dating or even group dating. Unless there's parents standing there, I mean, that, I don't encourage that either. Christian dating is really just the same thing as worldly dating. I mean, because often they'll go to the same places and do the same thing. So what's the difference? Like I said earlier, what's the difference? You're putting your Christian young person and that other person's Christian daughter or son in a position where they will be tempted. And they will end up, unless they get married, as I said, if they end up getting married, then there's no defraud there. But a lot of times, I mean, you've been out on dates, those of you who did go out on dates, you didn't marry all those people. So I'm saying, you know, if you don't marry the person that you ask out, that's defraud. You've given them reason to expect that they could be married, but it's not going to happen. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, I hope you do. Now, it says here, there's some notes here I wanted to read to you. No, I think I'm going to skip that. We are not to defraud, which means we are not to raise expectations that cannot be righteously fulfilled outside of marriage. Are you still with me? All right. Number four, reasons why we shouldn't get involved with dating, shouldn't let our children get involved in dating. It promotes promiscuity. Now, if a man or woman is flirtatious and promiscuous when they are young, that behavior will likely stay with them their entire life. Now, you know that this is true. If a young girl has this idea, well, I need to go out on dates and I haven't been asked out on a date, so I'm gonna make myself desirable. And so she starts being flirtatious. Or maybe a guy will be flirtatious. He wants to go out on a date. Well, how do I go about this? You know, this poor guy, how do I go about this? So he's thinking, well, how can I get this girl interested in me? And so he starts saying dumb things like, hey, how you doing? You're looking good. I didn't know there were going to be any supermodels at this camp. If they act like that when they're young, it will likely stay with them when they're old. Now, there's guys in their 40s and 50s still acting like that. Because they grew up like that and they never grew out of it. And so, when their wife doesn't understand them or whatever, they go out to a bar and they start acting like they did when they were a kid. It just comes back naturally. Because they were involved with something they shouldn't have been involved with, and that is the dating scene. Am I making a little more sense than I did when I began? Raise your hand if you think maybe I am. Okay, one hand. Okay. Thank you, Mother. No, my mother's not here, actually. Number five, you have lost, if you're involved in dating, and you have 5, 6, 7, 8, 50 girlfriends or boyfriends before you actually get married, you have lost, listen to me, you've lost the freshness, excitement, love, and exuberation of your first love. In the book of Revelation, we read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, to the church at Ephesus, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." You only have one first love, folks. Only one. And you know what? Most of you can remember that first love. That's how special and how important it is. I hope to God you did marry your first love, but maybe you didn't. But you still remember that first love because that's special. Wouldn't it be great If the first love, your first love, were your only love, here's what I think you should do. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Let's all say it. I think we can all say it by heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. You see, the problem with dating is you're trying to make things happen on your own. Commit yourself to the will of God. There was a guy I knew, he was in Canada. I was speaking up in Canada one time, and there was a guy, he was in his late 20s or his early 30s, and he was rather frustrated. He says, "I don't know what it is. I thought I'd be married by now. I don't know what's going on." And I just shared with him my heart. I said, "Well, you know what? I know kind of how you feel. When I was in college, I was ready to get married. I thought, you know, I'm ready to get married. I wanted that special someone, that special woman that would be mine forever. I wanted to meet her. And so I was trying to meet her myself. You know when I found my wife? When I stopped looking." That's an important rule to remember. Did you hear that back there on the back row? All right. You will find that special someone when you stop looking. I mean, I stopped looking, and all of a sudden, there she was. I walked into the health club. I had joined a fitness club, and she was over there on the stationary bicycle. And I walked in, and she said, "I gotta have him." Yeah, right. We met there, and I'd like to say we met at church, but no, we didn't. We met at a fitness club, and I thought at first she liked my friend Bobby, because he was talking to her, and of course he's that kind of guy, he just goes over and talks to her, and I was just exercising. And I came to find out later that the reason she was talking to him was because he was my friend. She wanted to get to know me. Getting back to the Scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I think that every young person in here, I hope that you feel compelled, I hope that you will feel compelled by the end of this message to commit to yourselves, to your parents, to God, and to your future spouse, that you will keep yourself absolutely pure. The first wedding I ever performed was Sharon and Billy. And Sharon was on my student staff and my youth program. And I had, we did youth meetings every week, several youth meetings a week. And I had kids that were, I called them my student staff. They helped me get things going. They helped me spread the word where the next youth meeting was going to be, where the next burger cookout was going to be, or whatever. And so Sharon was a special person to me. She was a special girl because she was one of our first, one of the first girls that was involved with our youth program. And so when she came to me and said she was going to be getting married and she wanted me to do the wedding ceremony, I was just, wow, you know, my first wedding. And for Sharon, you know, and she had met this young man at youth camp. His name was Billy. And I thought, you know, wow, this is great. And they were perfect together. I mean, you just knew that it was going to be perfect. And they're still married today. And they have several children. I'm getting old, you know. And I said, you know, why don't you, Sharon, Billy, why don't you come to our youth meeting, because we're going to do a meeting on dating. And again, I would not do this the same way now. I know better now, but at the time I didn't. And so I said, Billy, I want you to share with the guys a few things, and Sharon, I want you to share with the girls a few things about the proper way to go about this. Because I thought, what better example than Sharon and Billy? Well, I don't know what was said in the girls' get together, but the guys, I was in with the guys, and Billy said, you know, that it's important that you stay pure. And he said, I want to tell you guys that I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed because I am the very first guy that Sharon, my wife, ever kissed. The very first. And you know, you hear something like that today and you think, no, I mean, that's not real. It was true. I didn't know this though. But all the guys in that room, they were like, and you could just see they were almost drooling. They wanted that. They wanted to know that that girl that they marry, whoever she may be, because they were just kids, you know, whoever that girl might be, they wanted that. They wanted to be able to say, I'm the first guy my wife ever kissed. Now, what's wrong with it? I think that's the way it should be. I think that's the way that it should be. We need to stop looking. Our young people need to stop looking and just let God put that right girl or that right guy right in front of you. We have Adam as an example. God put Adam to sleep. Guys, we need to go to sleep. Just off. Turn yourself off. And let God wake you up and say, here she is. Amen? That's the Bible example. Now, I want to share with you some things. By the way, let me just ask you this. Well, let me go on. I put together a list of things that is going to have to be in place for the guy that marries my daughter. I have several daughters, as you know. And some of you have met them. So I've entitled this list, The Man Who Marries My Daughter. So I just want to read off to you, in light of what we've been discussing tonight, The Man Who Marries My Daughter, he's going to have every one of these things in place. First thing, he's got to be like us. He's got to be like us. Racially, religiously, culturally, he's got to be like us. Now, why do I say that? Am I a hateful person for saying that? I don't think so. I believe that you should marry someone like you. Now, you go back all the way to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, and you read it repeatedly. He told His creation to reproduce after its own kind. Go back and you'll find that it's there. It's just the way that God wants it. That's all I'm going to say. It's just the way God wants it. You say, well, that's awfully, you know, narrow. I have to be like you. Well, why is it narrow? Think about it. You want someone in your family that's like you, because if they're not, you could lose that daughter forever. If they have different values, a different culture, a different religion, if they're different, it's going to be a wedge between you and that young man that marries your daughter. So that's the first thing. They have to be like us. Second thing, they must be a God-fearing, born-again Christian. Amen. Come on. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Let's read it. Are you still with me? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? There's a right way, believe me, there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything, and this is talking about getting safely and properly to the marriage altar. Another reason why you should be, why that young man should be like you. It's going to put a wedge between you and your daughter if you're not. I think maybe I already said that, but I wanted to make sure I said it. He must be a God-fearing, born-again Christian, and he must believe like we believe. He must also be pure because my daughters are pure. Now, that may be a lot to ask for, but I'm asking for it. I've been asking for it ever since our children were little. I've been praying every night for my children's spouses since they were babies. When Joshua was born, and actually even before, I think, I started praying, God, please be with the spouses of my children. Make them pure, clean, holy, and undefiled. This is my prayer. I pray this every night, so I know it by heart. Make them pure, clean, holy, and undefiled. Make them lovers of God, haters of wickedness. Christians, Israelites, you know they are, and who believe like we believe. That's how I pray. Now, this is me. This is my list, because we're talking about how to do it properly. I'm just wanting to share with you my list of what I expect out of the man who marries my daughter. He must be pure, because my daughters are pure. That might be a deal breaker, but it's there, and it's going to stay there. Four, he must be a cheerful giver and must support the work of God. I mean, if I'm asking for what I want, I might as well list everything, right? He's going to have to be a cheerful giver. You know, a person's a true born-again Christian when they support the work of God. They don't just say, thank you, Jesus. They actually do the work of God. They actually give to the work of God. Must be a cheerful giver. You know that he loves the Lord Jesus Christ if he gives his money to the Lord and the work of God. 5, he must come before me. He must come to me before approaching my daughter. We're talking about courtship. We're not talking about dating. We're talking about courtship. Dating is completely out of the picture. Okay, just understand that. In my family, there is going to be no dating. And now, if someone wants, you say, well, how is he ever going to determine that he wants your daughter to marry your daughter? You know, you got to take the car for a test drive, don't you? Don't even go there. He's got to come to me before approaching my daughter for some reasons that I will tell you. First of all, if he does that, or let's say it the other way. If he goes to my daughter before he comes to me, and my daughter, yeah, he's dead. And my daughter likes the idea, and I don't, well, what has happened? Just right there, what has happened? Something has been placed between me and my daughter, and something has also been placed between her and him, because it's not going to happen if I don't want it. My daughter's going to be mad at me, he's going to be mad at me, and everybody's going to be upset. It's just not going to be a good thing. That's why the guy goes to the girl's father before he ever thinks about going to the girl. Thank you. Somebody back there knows. All right. Bless you, sister. Now, I was not raised to understand this, but I did. I don't know how, just somehow inherently I knew I needed to go to my wife's father before I asked her, my wife, Donita, my precious wife. I wish she was here so you could see her. But I knew I had to ask Mr. Eirik before I asked her to marry me. So, when I finally determined that I wanted to marry her, I mustered up all the courage that I could muster, and I looked for the opportunity that I was looking for. When can I? Well, you know, because you got to understand, this guy was a command sergeant major in the army, and he is descended from Vikings. He is loud. He is obnoxious. Not as bad as he was. I better tone it down because he might see this. Hi. I doubt that he's watching, really. But anyway, he was a scary guy. And he still is a scary guy. If you go up against him in a fight, you'll regret it. I mean, I'm telling you, that's just how the kind of guy he is. So, I was already nervous. Well, he said something about going to get some gas. And I said, well, can I go with you? And he said, sure. Come on. Come on, Han. He called me Han. Or Mr. Ken. So anyway, I get in the car and we're gone on down to the gas station. It's the longest trip I ever took in my life. And I finally got the courage when we were there at the gas station. I remember we were parked. And the gas that day was 56 cents a gallon. I don't know why I remember that. I guess it's just the terror of the moment. It's just indelibly etched in my mind. 56 cents a gallon. Last thing you see before you die. But I knew I loved my precious Donita, and I wanted to marry her, and I knew I had in my mind, in my heart, I had to ask his permission before I ever asked her. So I mustered up all the strength I could, all the courage I could, and I said, Mr. Eirik, I love your daughter, and I would dearly love for her to be my wife. May I please have your permission to ask her to marry me? You know, then I waited for the answer. And the first thing he said was, well, I know, I think he was expecting it too. I think he and I both were kind of nervous on the way to the gas station. Well, I think that he knew that, here's how he thought. He said, you're going to marry her anyway, whatever I say. I didn't say anything, but that wasn't true. I didn't say anything, though. I know when to talk and when not to talk, which is something all of my children need to learn. Anyway, so he said, I'll give her to you. But if you ever hurt her, I'll kill you. Yes, sir. And I believe him. To this day, I believe him. And if he's dead and gone, I think maybe he'll work it out somehow. I don't know. I need to watch myself. It's the right thing to do. the young man must go to the father before ever approaching the daughter. Sixth thing, he must be willing to do things right and wait. No dating, only courtship. And when I say that, I'm saying they'll never be alone, completely alone, until their wedding night. Say, Pastor, you're really asking for a lot. Well, yes, I am, because my daughters are worth it. Now, what is so important about it? Just think about this. If you, guys, let me just ask you this. Guys, what would you think about your wife kissing, and I'm not talking about just a peck on the cheek, although that's, you know. But what would you think about your wife kissing another man? How many of you would like that? How many, just raise your hand if you would like another man kissing your wife. I don't see any hands. In fact, the very thought probably, anger just rises up in you. Just anger at the thought of that, right? Well, how many of you would want your wife holding hands with another guy? Nobody? What about, would you even want your wife alone in a room with another guy? Well, let me tell you something. If you go out on a date, if you don't end up marrying that girl, then whatever you do with her, you're doing that with another man's wife. Think about it. Whatever it is you do, you're doing that with another man's wife. That's why I say, never completely alone until they're married. They don't have to be completely alone to know they want each other. They just have to know how that other person feels, what they think about life, what they think about God, what they think about country, what they think about family. How many children do they want? Do they not want any children at all? All these things. You can tell if the person's right for you without ever being completely alone with them. I know you think I'm a radical, but that's okay. Number 7, he must be a man of means and able to take good care of my daughter. If you don't have a job and you're living with your parents, don't you come talking to me about wanting my daughter. The answer is no. I like what my wife said here recently. She said, I want someone for my daughters that will be able to take care of them in the manner and the custom which they, in the manner in which they are accustomed. However she said it. You know what I'm saying. And she said, I'm not really talking about material things. I'm talking about spiritual leadership. You see, my daughters are used to having Bible time in their home twice a day. They're used to a strong spiritual leader, and my wife wants that for each of her daughters. And I thought, well, that's a good one. I'll just add it to this list. He must be a strong spiritual leader. He also must love God's law and do things the Bible way. He must also love my daughter's parents, that's us, and siblings, and so must his family. Boy, you're just really narrowing it down. You don't want your children to get married, do you, Pastor? Yes, I do. And they're going to get married, and they're going, God willing. I mean, if God doesn't want it, it's not going to happen. But I am doing this so that they will have the very best that God has to offer them. Do you want the best for your children? I do. We should all want the best for our children. Are you still with me? Do you still love me? Did you ever love me? Thank you, son. He must love his daughter, my daughter's parents, me and my wife. You know, why is this? Well, because when they get married, if he doesn't like me, doesn't like my wife, doesn't like my wife's sisters and brothers, he's now the head of her, and he can say, no, we're not going for Thanksgiving. No, we're not going for that summer vacation that your father wants to go on with everybody. No, I don't think I'd be comfortable with that. All kinds of things could go wrong, and you could lose that daughter. I have to know that that young man loves me, loves my wife, loves all of my children before he can have my daughter. Boy, Pastor, you really... Second thing, another thing, and this is not a deal breaker here. This is negotiable, okay? This is actually negotiable. This is one thing. I think it'd be really actually good, and this is the thing, if they be a little older than my daughter. I mean, I just think it works out that way. It doesn't always work that way. My father is a year younger than my mother, and it's worked out fine. But I'm just saying that generally speaking, guys mature slower than girls. Yes, sister? It is true, and I know it's true. There's guys that are 40 years old that still aren't mature. And I've known young ladies that at the age of 11, they're a lot more mature than some guys I know that are 40 years old. So that's why I say it's generally a good idea if the guy is a little older than the girl. But it doesn't have to be that way. This is my list, by the way. And this is the last thing I'll mention. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 and following. Now, these are the qualifications for ministers. But I'm thinking to myself, you know, my daughter's husband, whoever he may be, whoever they may be, the husbands of my daughters, they're going to be the spiritual leader in their home, right? So I'm thinking these guys that marry my daughters really should meet the same qualifications as the qualifications for leaders in the church. So let's just read them real quick. Titus chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. For this cause I left thee in Crete, thou shouldest set in order things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, oh, he better only have one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, so that means he has to be able to raise a family, raise children properly, raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, raise them according to the Word of God, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. In other words, he hangs out with the right people, and he's a cheerful person, he's a hospitable person, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So he needs to be blameless. Of course, what do you call blameless? I mean, nobody's perfect, but he needs to be someone that's not the kind of person that people point to and say, now, you don't want to mess with him. You don't want to be around him. He's no good. He's got to have a good reputation, is what it's saying. Not a striker. Don't you dare hit my daughter. Not given to filthy lucre. Did I read that part? I don't think I did. Let me back up. Verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine. In other words, not, you know, controlled by wine, not a drunkard. I'm not against a glass of wine every once in a while. I mean, Jesus made wine, but this is saying not given to wine, not persuaded and controlled by wine, not a striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. These are some things that I am expecting from the man that marries my daughter. Now let me just recap what we've talked about tonight. Dating, although I know everybody's doing it, it's not a good idea for our young people, and I want to encourage you to not let your children date, but to encourage them to be courted. I believe it's best for your family, it's best for your daughters, your sons, if you do things what I believe is the Bible way. Now, have I made any sense tonight? I believe if the young people in America today, and the parents would expect this of their young people, if this was a reality in every American home today, what we talked about last night wouldn't even be necessary. Amen? Now, I want to ask you what I've asked. Now, there's some young people in this room tonight, and I don't know if an altar call is necessary, but I want to say this. I want you young people to consider what I've talked about tonight, what I've shared with you tonight. Do you think that you can commit to yourself, to God, to your family, to your future spouse, that you will remain pure until you reach that wedding day? I want you to think about it seriously, and I hope that you can commit to God, to your family, to your future spouse, that you will remain pure. Now, what about if you've already blown it? Well, the past is the past, amen? God can make all things new, and He does. Just because you may have blown it already doesn't mean you can't start fresh right now and do things right. Amen? We've all made mistakes, every one of us, even your pastor, even me. We've all made mistakes. But when we see that we have made a mistake, the right and proper thing to do is to determine that I'm not going to make that mistake anymore. So will you commit to God and to yourself and to your future spouse that you will from this point on be completely pure and save yourself absolutely for that person that you're going to marry? I hope you can. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the fact that I believe that this word was received here by several tonight. Maybe not everybody, but I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And I just pray, Lord, that you would be with all the young people in this building tonight. All the young people that are represented by the families that are here today, that you would keep them pure, clean, holy, and undefiled. That you would make them lovers of righteousness and haters of wickedness. That you would lead them down the right path. That you would introduce them to that special person of the opposite sex that will be their spouse when the right time comes, and that you will help them all to be patient and wait and just be asleep like Adam was and wait for you to just say, here she is or here he is. Lord, I pray this in the name of Jesus because I want what's best for our young people. So please, Lord, in Jesus' name, let it be. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to me. May God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.